Hello and welcome to Hot Type, security books and audio, brought to you by SearchSecurity.com and Addison Wesley. I'm Eric Parizo. As always, our Hot Type podcasts deliver excerpts of recently published books from top information security authors. Today's featured author is Gary McGraw, CTO of Cigital, and a noted security author. Today's featured book is his most recent title, Software Security, Building Security In, which examines how to put software security into practice and properly address software-induced business risks. Today's podcast will be in two parts. Earlier, in part one, McGraw introduced the issues plaguing secure software design, and in this, part two, he discusses his three pillars of software security. And now, reading an excerpt from chapter one, Defining a Discipline, here's Gary McGraw.
Solving the problem, the three pillars of software security. Software security is an ongoing activity that requires a cultural shift. There is unfortunately no magic tool or just add water process that will result in secure software. Software security takes work. That's the bad news. The good news is that any organization that's developing software, no matter what software development methodology it's following, if any, can make straightforward, positive progress by following the plan laid out in this book. Software security naturally borrows heavily from software engineering, programming languages, and security engineering. The three pillars of software security are applied risk management, software security touchpoints, and knowledge. By applying the three pillars in a gradual evolutionary manner and in equal measure, a reasonable, cost-effective software security program can result. Throughout the rest of this book, I discuss the three pillars and their constituent parts at length. Pillar 1, Applied Risk Management. No discussion about security is complete without considering risk management, and the same holds true for software security. To make risk management coherent, it's useful to draw a distinction between the application of risk analysis at the architectural level, sometimes called threat modeling or security design analysis, and the notion of tracking and mitigating risk as a full life cycle activity. Architectural risk analysis is a best practice and is one of the central touch points. See Chapter 5. However, security risks crop up throughout the software development lifecycle. Thus, an overall approach to risk management as a philosophy is also important. I will call this underlying approach the Risk Management Framework, or RMF. Risk management is often viewed as a black art, that is, part fortune-telling, part mathematics. Successful risk management, however, is nothing more than a business-level decision support tool, a way to gather the requisite data to make good judgment call based on knowledge of vulnerabilities, threats, impacts, and probabilities. Risk management has a storied history. Dan Geer wrote an excellent overview. What makes a good software risk assessment is the ability to apply classic risk definitions to software design in order to generate accurate mitigation requirements. Chapter 2 discusses an RMF and considers applied risk management as a high-level approach to iterative risk identification and mitigation that's deeply integrated throughout the SDLC. Carrying out a full lifecycle risk management approach for software security is at its heart a philosophy underpinning all software security work. The basic idea is to identify, rank, track, and understand software security risk as the touchpoints are applied throughout the SDLC. Chapter 5 provides a discussion of architectural risk analysis. In that chapter, I briefly introduced some practical methods for applying risk analysis techniques while software is being designed and built. There are many different established methodologies, each possessing distinct advantages and disadvantages. Pillar 2, Software Security Touchpoints. On the road to implementing a fundamental change in the way we build software, we must first agree that software security is not security software. This is a subtle point often lost on development people, who tend to focus on functionality. Obviously, there are security functions in the world, and most modern software includes security features. But adding features such as SSL to your program to cryptographically protect communications does not present a complete solution to the security problem. Software security is a system-wide issue that takes into account both security mechanisms, such as access control, and design for security, such as robust design that makes software attacks difficult. Sometimes these overlap, but often they don't. Put another way, security is an emergent property of a software system. A security problem is more likely to arise because of a problem in a system's standard issue part, say, the interface to the database module, than in some given security feature. This is an important reason why software security must be part of the full lifecycle approach. Just as you can't test quality into a piece of software, you can't spray paint security features onto a design and expect it to become secure. There's no such thing as magic crypto fairy dust. We need to focus on software security from the ground up. We need to build security in. As practitioners become aware of software security's importance, they're increasingly adopting and evolving a set of best practices to address the problem. Microsoft has carried out a noteworthy effort under its Trustworthy Computing Initiative. Most approaches in practice today encompass training for developers, testers, and architects, analysis and auditing of software artifacts, and security engineering. In the fight for better software, treating the disease itself, poorly designed and implemented software, is better than taking an aspirin to stop the symptoms. There's no substitute for working software security as deeply into the development process as possible, and taking advantage of the engineering lessons software practitioners have learned over the years. Figure 1.9 specifies the software security touchpoints, a set of best practices that I cover in this book, and shows how software practitioners can apply the touchpoints to various software artifacts produced during software development. These best practices first appeared as a set in 2004 in IEEE Security and Privacy magazine. Since then, they've been adopted, and in some cases adapted, by the U.S. government in the National Cybersecurity Task Force report, by CIGITL, by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and by Ernst & Young. In various chapters ahead, I'll detail these best practices. See Part 2. Note that software security touchpoints can be applied regardless of the base software process being followed. Software development processes as diverse as the waterfall model, RUP, XP, Agile, Spiral Development, CMMI, and any number of other processes involve the creation of a common set of software artifacts, the most common artifact being code. In the end, this means you can create your own secure development lifecycle by adapting your existing SDLC to include the touchpoints. You already know how to build software. What you may need to learn is how to build secure software. The artifacts I will focus on and describe best practices for include requirements and use cases, architecture, design documents, test plans, code, test results, and feedback from the field. Most software processes describe the creation of these kinds of artifacts. In order to avoid the religious warfare surrounding which particular software development process is best, I introduced this notion of artifact and artifact analysis. The basic idea is to describe a number of microprocesses, touch points, or best practices that can be applied in line regardless of your core software process. This process-agnostic approach to the problem makes the software security material explained in this book as easy as possible to adopt. This is particularly critical given the fractional state of software process adoption in the world. Requiring that an organization give up, say, XP and adopt RUP in order to think about software security is ludicrous. The good news is that my move towards process agnosticism seems to work out. I consider the problem of how to adopt these best practices for any particular software methodology beyond the scope of this book, but work that definitely needs to be done. Pillar 3, knowledge. One of the critical challenges facing software security is the dearth of experienced practitioners. Early approaches that rely solely on apprenticeship as a method of propagation will not scale quickly enough to address the burgeoning problem. As the field evolves and best practices are established, knowledge management and training play a central role in encapsulating and spreading the emerging discipline more efficiently. Pillar 3 involves gathering, encapsulating, and sharing security knowledge that can be used to provide a solid foundation for software security practices. Knowledge is more than simply a list of things we know or a collection of facts. Information and knowledge aren't the same thing, and it's important to understand the difference. Knowledge is information in context, information put to work using processes and procedures. A checklist of potential security bugs in C and C++ is information. The same information built into a static analysis tool is knowledge. Software security knowledge can be organized into 7 knowledge catalogs: principles, guidelines, rules, vulnerabilities, exploits, attack patterns, and historical risks, that are in turn grouped into 3 knowledge categories: prescriptive knowledge, diagnostic knowledge, and historical knowledge. Two of these seven catalogs, vulnerabilities and exploits, are likely to be familiar to software developers, possessing only a passing familiarity with software security. These catalogs have been in common use for quite some time, and have even resulted in collection and cataloging efforts serving the security community. Similarly, principles, stemming from the seminal work of Salter and Schroeder, and rules, identified and captured in static analysis tools such as ITS4, are fairly well understood. Knowledge catalogs, only more recently identified, include guidelines, often built into prescriptive frameworks for technologies such as .NET and J2EE, attack patterns, and historical risks. Together, these various knowledge catalogs provide a basic foundation for a unified knowledge architecture supporting software security. Software security knowledge can be successfully applied at various stages throughout the entire SDLC. One effective way to apply such knowledge is through the use of software security touchpoints. For example, rules are extremely useful for static analysis and code review activities. Awareness of the software security problem is growing among researchers and some security practitioners. However, the most important audience has in some sense experienced the least exposure. For the most part, software architects, developers, and testers remain blithely unaware of the problem. One obvious way to spread software security knowledge is to train software development staff on critical software security issues. The most effective form of training begins with a description of the problem and demonstrates its impact and importance. During the Windows security push in February and March of 2002, Microsoft provided basic awareness training to all of its developers. Many other organizations have ongoing software security awareness training programs. Beyond awareness, more advanced software security training should cover security engineering, design principles, guidelines, implementation risks, design flaws, analysis techniques, and security testing. Special tracks should be made available to quality assurance personnel, especially those who carry out testing. Of course, the best training programs will offer extensive and detailed coverage of the touchpoints covered in this book. Putting the touchpoints into practice requires a cultural change, and that means training. Assembling a complete software security program at the enterprise level is the subject of Chapter 10. The good news is that the three pillars of software security, risk management, touchpoints, and knowledge, can be applied in a sensible, evolutionary manner no matter what your existing software development approach is.
Again, that was Gary McGraw, CTO of Cigital, reading a selection from his book, Software Security, Building Security In, published by Addison Wesley. To read more, visit the book's website at www.swsec.com. Again, that's www.swsec.com. And be sure to download part one of this podcast to learn more about the issues plaguing secure software design. And for more of our podcasts, be sure to visit our website at searchsecurity.com/podcast. We thank you for listening. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.